It's Tuesday, 11th of August, and it's time to get your grin on with the Grincast, here to discuss the world of gaming from the past week. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me are... Rhodes.
Hiya.
Nikki.
Hello.
And Velt.
Hi.
Got a number of things to talk about this week, including something that was announced mere minutes before we started recording. So let's get on with what's everyone been playing this past week. Rhodes.
Well, not a lot. You probably picked the worst person to go for. As any regular listener knows, I wasn't very well, so I've not had the chance to play a lot. I played two games. One of them was Football Manager, because I could Steam link it to my phone to the bedroom and just sit there and play it that way. You know, it's Football Manager. You just hit continue thousands of times until you win or lose. And more recently, having gotten better, I've been playing Fall Guys on the PlayStation 4. It's good fun. It's a bit too exciting when you're recovering. I wouldn't recommend it if you've just come out of an illness. But the mini games are good fun. But yeah, just literally, I've got for this. I've got nothing else.
Well, make something up.
I played
Half-Life 3. There, that's what you played.
I've been playing Half-Life 3, Left 4 Dead 3. I've been playing Resident Evil 14.
Oh, I like that one. It's good.
Yeah, it's good. It's the MMO, isn't it?
Oh God, Resident Evil 14, Realm Reborn. One. Okay, Nikki, what have you been doing?
Well, I have been playing some video games quite a lot, actually, this week. Probably the most I've ever played. But I won't talk about all of them because we'll be here for about half an hour and it's too hot to keep talking. But basically, yeah, I spent some time with a friend over the weekend and we just basically played a load of puzzle games, kind of some for 30 minutes, some for an hour. This included titles such as Puyo Puyo Tetris, Puyo Puyo Champions, Tetris 99. There was a couple of racing games in there, Grip Fast RMX. There's a couple I can't actually pronounce because that's just how things roll with me. I can't read. River City Girls, Pokemon Sword, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, general Nintendo fun times. But the two, the main titles I've kind of gotten back into recently, more Final Fantasy 14, slowly continuing to work my way through the Stormblood campaign to get to Shadowbringers, because the newest patch came out today, a couple of hours ago, and there is some awesome content in there, and I cannot wait to play it. But to do that, I still need to get through 1.5 expansions. I think I've mentioned before that I got Shadowbringers. I pre-ordered it. I got the collector's edition, and I can't even play it yet because I'm really slow at MMOs, which is fine.
Yeah, I remember back before it came out and you were desperately trying to get through Heavensward before it came in.
Yeah, the problem is so it's worth noting the patch that just came out today revamps the base game, so A Realm Reborn, which is referred to as 2.0 through to 3.0, making it a lot more accessible for new players, because that is a grind and a half. It's an absolute slog, and it's not the most enjoyable thing, and the story only really picks up towards the end, but it's really worth it. Heavensward 3.0 is an incredible expansion with fantastic content, a fantastic story from start to end, and just you're just engaged the whole way through. And Stormblood 4.0 is good. There's some fantastic content, but people I've spoken to who have finished it basically sum it up as saying that it tries to do too much in too short of time. At least to me, about halfway through it now, it feels like it's trying to tell two separate stories, and it kind of just drops the first one about halfway through the game, which is kind of the point I'm at, which is still enjoyable, but it's a noticeable dip as opposed to Heavensward. But plow through that, get to Shadowbringers, which is apparently the best, a lot of people say is the best Final Fantasy story to date, so I'm quite excited to get around to that. Bit of Destiny 2, a new event's just kicked off, so I'll be jumping back into that this week, more than usual, to grind out some loot and rewards, Azura Lane, speaking of grinding. I'm also back on the turnip market in Animal Crossing, because moving houses is expensive in Animal Crossing. Like, to move a house...
Only in Animal Crossing.
Yeah, yeah, only in Animal Crossing. Like, moving house normally is absolutely fine. If only we could do it through turnips. No, I think I know what I want to do with my island now, but, like, I need to... When I was progressing to the point of, quote, finishing the game, which is when KK Slider comes and plays and you get the credits, I just kind of put things wherever I could and didn't really think ahead. And now it's like, okay, my island is covered in trees and the houses are everywhere. I should do something about this.
Is your island Yorkshire?
I mean, if Yorkshire is half bamboo and half orange trees, then yes.
You see, that's the joy in Yorkshire. It is.
Oh.
It's really wild pandas.
It's funny though, because, like, you see pictures of people's islands, they're all like beautifully laid out and there's these fantastic themes running throughout, or they have different themes in different areas. The only part of my island that actually looks like it's been made with some sort of sense behind it is I essentially have, like, every stereotypical vending machine street from every anime ever, because I just have two vending machines next to a Japanese telephone pole with a bench, and it's just like, yeah.
It's the best thing about these kind of games, though, isn't it? Where, like, Stardew Valley is the same. Where, like, you think you've got, like, a nice farm, and you see everyone else and go, why am I even bothering? Like, what is the point?
Yeah, my end goal is to have, like, all of, like, the fruit trees kind of almost in, like, farmland. But you just do it with the fruit trees and kind of have, like, the shops there to kind of slightly reminiscent of rural convenience stores in Japan, and have those a little bit Japanese themed. I'm gonna have, like, a little bamboo forest area, and I'll do something with houses, but, you know, I'll figure it out as I go. And the last game I've been playing this week that's worth bringing note to is Banner of the Maid, which is a turn-based strategy game for I think it's actually on a couple of platforms, but I'm playing on the Nintendo Switch, playing it for review. It's very reminiscent of Fire Emblem, like old school Fire Emblem, in the sense of, like, the movement, the combat, the sort of this beats that. But it's set during the Napoleonic War era. You play as Napoleon's, like, sister, and it's so far so good.
Napoleon's anime sister.
Yes, it's kind of weird. The characters and, like, some of the beats in the story are references to actual people and actual events, but it's obviously very, very gamed up. But it's got a really lovely style. Like, the unit animations are gorgeous. Kind of pixel arty, but, like, they're very fluid. Enjoying it so far, but if I'm being completely honest, it has been far too hot the last 2 days. I've basically done nothing, so I've not touched it for a couple of days. So I do need to get back to it and get that review written up. But that is that's me. I'm out of breath now, so I'm going to drink some water and hand it over to the next person.
Okay, Nikki, take us away.
Whoa. Hello, everyone. Here's the games I've been playing. I'm just going to pick random games from the list here. I've been playing... What did someone play this week? Someone played Wipeout Omega Collection. It's all right. I've never played that collection, but I do love Wipeout.
So why haven't you played the collection? Velt, why don't you tell us what you've been doing?
You asked a question and then gave no time for Nikki to answer the question. Haven't you played the Wipeout collection?
That was the whole point.
What have I been playing? Just been playing them gacha games again. But I've also been playing, I started last week, a Nuzlocke of Pokemon Emerald. Which is a thing.
That's a very specific thing you've done there. Why Emerald specifically?
It was just the one that I could get hold of easier.
All right, okay.
There wasn't any weird, like, I'll do Emerald. It was just like, I can get this, so I will do that. Yeah. I'm a bit annoyed, because I was playing it only moments ago, before the podcast started, obviously. I'm a professional. But I'm genuinely very annoyed, because my Pokemon whom I have called Dave, has died, everyone.
Oh, Dave.
Oh no.
So your Nuzlocke's finished?
No, that's not... No. No, far from. For people who may not know, Nuzlocke is... you're restricted by the amount of Pokemon you can catch. You can only catch one per route. It is the first one that you catch. And when that Pokemon dies, it is dead. You cannot revive it or use it again. Dave was a Shroomish that I caught early on in the game. Little Dave. I called him Dave. And I went to fight the electric gym. I don't have anything good against electric Pokemon. But I did have Dave. Right? Dave could sit there and take no damage all day. He was fine. But unfortunately for Dave, I did not bring into account that the enemy Pokemon could do critical hits. And so Dave was the victim of a stray critical hit from the gym leader's last Pokemon at the one hit point marker. I was about to win, and Dave died.
Can we get some F in chat?
That is genuinely the saddest story you've heard on this podcast. Like, I know we joked about wanting like a running story going on, but I feel like we need a weekly update on this Nuzlocke now.
On yeah, well, I mean that's fair.
I'm behind you all the
way. I've lost a few. I've lost three. That's my third Pokemon was dead.
Right, so you're not finishing it then, is what I'm hearing.
I will finish it. I've got plenty of Pokemon, which is fine. My starter's fine. As long as my starter's fine, it doesn't matter. I lost Mel, the Wingull, to a scratch. I lost Consuela, my Makuhita, to a Magnemite, critting it. And now I've lost Dave. Poor sweet Dave. Oh.
R.I.P. What else have you been playing?
No, that's about it. I haven't been playing anything else.
That'd be why you took so long to tell that story.
Yeah. I had to pan it out.
No,
it'd be entertaining.
I was like, let's get games we played done in 10 minutes this week. Come on.
That's not 10 minutes per person, but...
We've got nothing else to talk about. Games don't happen.
Didn't we decide that last week?
Exactly.
Right. Myself, been playing a number of things. So Kirby, Hard Space Shipbreaker has a new ship in it. And I... due to the heat, I've only had one attempt at taking one of those apart, and most of it exploded in my face, so that didn't go so well.
Is that the title? Exploded in my face?
It might as well be, because until you get to grips with each ship type, something is going to explode and you are going to be near it. Finished off the final boss of Paper Mario, the Origami King. And the bosses in that game are absolutely horrid, and that's a big reason that the game got 6 out of 10, because half the game is battles, and the battles and bosses are horrid. So after playing that, I went on to the Tourist. Tourist? It's got a Y. It really throws off the spelling. Which just hit Xbox Game Pass. Might be on Game Pass Ultimate, don't know. There's no real story, just you are a tourist to this collection of islands and have to find your way inside all of these big towers. And once you're inside the tower, you come across a quote-unquote boss. You can't die, so you have to for one of them, yeah, it's got two legs and keeps stepping around in random order, and you have to get these blocks underneath one of its legs so it can stand on it, so it can open the door by crushing all these blocks and activating the hidden keys or whatever. It's voxels, so everything's blocks. And then I reached the third one of these things, and it's like a snake thing that's just going around in a random pattern and knocking these blocks off of these lights that you have to cover the blocks with to open the door. And there was no pattern to figure out. It just wound me up, and I uninstalled it in a rage and decided that video games are awful for several hours. But other than that, I played Fallout 76 for the first time this week. And, yes, it's all right. It's certainly a game set in the Bethesda Fallout universe, and there are other people sometimes, depending on where you are. A part of the story, I believe, has you setting off a nuke. There's this one section of the map in the far bottom right where all the nukes get set off, and it seems to happen at random. And then there's a boss fight or something, because it tells you get out of the area, even if you're nowhere near the area and could not make it to the area in the 3 minutes it gives you. But what I do like is that when the nukes go off, the sound is absolutely terrifying. I was miles and miles away, and it just rumbles across the entire landscape. It's very good effect.
That's really cool.
But Fallout 76 is on the Game Pass, so didn't have to pay for it. And Puce, fellow Grincaster, has been playing the dailies, and sometimes he does it on stream, and I'll pop along and watch him, so I thought, well, might as well nip in and see what Fallout 76 is like playing it. And yes, not bad. Could be better, but yeah.
Do you remember like 6 weeks ago on the podcast when I said I was playing Fallout 76 and you shat all over me?
No.
You were like, why would you play that? It's such a bad game.
Wow. Did you pay for it?
I love how Ace is American in your world.
Evil dictator Ace is always American in my world. I've paid for Fallout 76 like 3 times, so I'm just going to shut up.
Yeah, I didn't pay for it, as I just said.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to do for the unbelievably high amount of money I paid. I hate myself.
I've got in the little battle pass they've got running. I'm at level 4, which gave me a machine that makes ammo out of rubbish.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's probably going to come in handy if I ever learn to make a camp properly. I've played several sessions of it and got to a airport pretty early on in the game, and only shortly after that section in any case, I stumbled across how to set up a camp, and this is one of the this is the second objective it gives you. The first is leave the vault, the second is set up a camp, and I just had no idea how to do it, stumbled across it, and like, oh well, Now here's my camp. I don't want to move it just in case I don't know how to get it back. On the plus side, it doesn't cost you any caps to fast travel to your camp, so that's good. It costs you caps to fast travel any other place you've been. Yes, that's the games I've been playing. Something that other people have been playing over the past weekend, Marvel's Avengers. Had a beta weekend this past week. And as we discussed last week, they have announced that Spider-Man is going to be playable on the PlayStation version of the game only, which people have not been happy about. But if you're a customer of Verizon or Virgin Media, or you buy lots of packs of 5 gum, you can get skins.
5 gum?
5 gum, yes, I've never heard five of it. Gum.
Is that, that's not a brand available here, is it?
It's yes, number... I think it is.
Really?
Number 5 the, gum. One word.
It's the one where they're like, oh, this is how it feels to chew 5 gum. And then they start like throwing water in people's faces or whatever.
What the fuck?
Well, if you get enough, if you buy enough packs of that, you can unlock a special Kamala Khan emote, which is inspired by the cover art of Ms. Marvel issue 1, where she blew a bubble.
Everything about this is so.
Is that it? Is that all they're offering?
You also get 150 units of in-game currency, a legendary artifact based on Captain America's statue, a Ms. Marvel nameplate. But yes, you can advertise your favourite brands by wearing their costumes in Marvel's Avengers.
How interesting. Have any of you actually watched any footage of the game so far?
I have not, no.
I have seen a couple of minutes of cut clips.
I've seen the entirety of the what I believe is the prologue, at least, where you play as the variant characters. Holy shit, this game looks so boring. I cannot put in, like, I've never been bored playing a game without playing a game before, but that is the best way I can describe my feelings about it. Like, it's like it wants to be an arcade game, but it doesn't know what an arcade game is.
Is that the section which was in the reveal trailer where, like, they're all on the bridge and you switch to each character and then, like,
yes,
it explodes? So that is, just to be devil's advocate for a second, that is the bit that they let people play at, I think it was Eurogamer last year. And one of my friends played it and said that basically, like, yeah, that section is just, like, the most boring thing. Apparently, that is literally the first thing you do in the game, and it's supposed to give you, like, a taste of how all the characters play before you actually start playing. But everyone
like Metroid Prime, you start the game fully powered up, and then you lose all your weapons and stuff.
And like Assassin's Creed as well. But everyone I've spoken to who's played it has said the same thing, which is that it doesn't do a very good job of that, and that it's a really bad representation of what the game actually is. Not that the footage I've seen of the actual gameplay impresses me anyway. But yeah, worth just bearing that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
fair from point. The video that I saw, from the video that I saw, the bridge bit that they make you play at the start is also the best bit of the game, because the rest of the game is like weird multiplayer bits, and none of it works.
Yeah, it was so scripted as well, that bridge bit. Like that was what was getting me. Like everything was very on rails. Yeah. Like you're playing as like Thor, and you're in like 2 square foot of room, and you're like, this. I'm a god. Why am I so confined by a lorry?
Well, from the rest of it, it looks like you're still in like 2 square foot of room. Only you get to play as all of the other characters, and sometimes the other characters, because it's online or multiplayer, you can't see properly because of the way that the game lags.
I'm curious if there's an in-game explanation to why there's multiple of the same characters. Because the one video I saw, there were 2 Captain Americas on screen at the same time. They weren't fighting at the same time, just one walked past the other one.
To be fair, I've seen that in both the MCU and in the comics, so I can't rag on the game too much for doing that.
The explanation in Marvel Heroes, the MMO from several years ago that sadly closed down, was that there's various dimensions merging because of events in the game. So yeah, that's why there's multiple of the same characters running around. Yeah, there are ways they can explain it.
I don't think they will. Like I've played Square Enix games. I don't think they will.
Like, I think you're being too harsh on Square Enix here when Square Enix aren't developing it. It's Crystal Dynamics.
I reckon with a franchise like Avengers, Square Enix have got a much bigger say than you're trying to play.
I don't think Square Enix do. I think Marvel has a much bigger say than Square Enix does.
Yeah, but
I think Disney has a bigger say than Marvel does.
Well, yeah, there we go.
Not just that, but also I think that the way the microtransactions and just everything like that works in this game absolutely screams Square Enix.
Like, I don't think it does. Don't know that many Square Enix games that are like that. There was only that Deus Ex game that happened.
The one where you could buy packs to level up in-game in a single-player game. That's a very Square Enix thing.
What, in Deus Ex?
Yeah, in Mankind Divided. You could buy the...
That's the only game. That's the only example of that, though, that I know of.
Yeah, but
there's a reason they haven't done it in other games.
Because it's so mentally Square Enix. Only Square Enix could make something so obtuse.
But not... No, because Shadow of War has all that shit in it, doesn't it?
No, you can buy like
a bunch of Ubisoft games.
You can buy cosmetics in them, but you can't just buy a kit to level up your character quicker. That's just...
Namco Bandai get all Namco Bandai games have that in them.
Do they? Maybe it's a Japanese thing.
It's a video game industry thing. It's unique to Square Enix.
I don't know. Like Square Enix's way of doing it is very, very bizarre compared to a lot of other companies.
I think it's in this way it's very normal. It's shit.
Don't get why Verizon and Virgin Media specifically have thrown money.
Oh,
at...
fucking who knows?
Oh, you can have a red Black Widow costume. A character who has never worn red.
To be fair, I feel like the most of Britain has Virgin Media anyway.
No.
I don't know whether that works in Britain either. I think it's just an American deal.
Really? This...
Well,
no, the Verizon one is America. The Virgin Media is in the UK.
Yes, that's what I thought.
No, okay.
They've specified that.
But everyone in Nottingham has Virgin Media because we like BT just is like pointless. Like no one else can get access to the fiber optic here. So I guess like it sort of plays well into a market in a way. But the problem with this, our country at least, is that generally, like one provider provides like good internet wherever you are. So if you haven't,
I can't get Virgin Media here. Well, I can, I can't get Virgin Fiber here.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So basically, if you don't currently have Virgin Media, it's probably because they aren't the good provider in your area, and you aren't going to drop like 100 megabytes of internet just to get a skin in Marvel games.
I don't know anyone who actually cares about any of these skins, though. Really, like.
Hey, I'm...
Oh, I get to wear a Virgin Media t-shirt on Iron Man now.
I cannot wait to run around as a packet of gum.
Well, that would be a DLC that I would be interested in. But, like, with a t-shirt with 5 gum written on it, it's not exactly interesting DLC, is it?
I'm all over it, mate. I'm ready for it.
Well, something that will stop you running around is permadeath, which is coming to The Last of Us Part 2. Naughty Dog are adding modes in coming days. Permadeath and Grounded. Apparently Grounded was a tough-as-nails mode from the original The Last of Us, so people who played that will know. Basically, it's a survival mode. Gives you no HUD, no listen mode, limited supplies. And permadeath is going to... you die and that's it. Your playthrough is finished.
So do you mean the survival horror game becomes a survival horror game now?
The thing is, I already know that permadeath thing, that people are just going to play to the bit where they're Abby and then kill her. But that's exactly what's going to happen.
That doesn't sound like gamers with a capital G that I know.
Let's not forget that this update also includes a bunch of post-processing filters which just do nothing. If you want to take pictures of the game with like funky effects, cool. Nah, I kid.
Instagram filters to The Last of Us.
Basically, yeah, they've just added like more post-processing filters and stuff, which is something that Naughty Dog have done with a lot of their games. They've also added a bunch of new like extra things you can turn on, like infinite ammo and stuff, which They class them as like extras. I think you may as well just put those under accessibility, honestly. In regards to like the new difficulty, apparently pre-order items will be disabled during that, but all the accessibility functions will still be playable.
Can I just ask what the point of a permadeath mode is in a game where you're only playing as one character?
Well, I mean, some would argue you're not only playing as one character.
I mean, you play as two characters, but like, say Ellie dies and is dead for the rest of the game, you're not going to then continue the game on as Abby.
I think
it's
going
to be game over, and then you're going to start again.
You're meant
it's
to like
pointless.
You're meant to do it in a way where you can legitimately finish the game, start to finish, without dying.
It's one of those things where it's like, and I think this is something that the industry is still struggling with, is this idea of like, well, we've spent all this time and money making a game, and these people spent stupid amounts of money buying it. We better make sure they feel like they're getting the money's worth, and it's like, you know, just throwing more content at it and, you know, trying to make things up. But some people like the thing is, like, permadeath to me,
It's pointless.
It's unless you're actually making a game that is designed around it, roguelike, like, you know, something like Binding of Isaac.
Like Zombie U is a game that I guess is a survival horror, which has permadeath. And when that character dies, that character becomes a zombie and influences bits within the game. It's perfectly fine in that situation because it affects the game, and there's a reason for the permadeath being there. In The Last of Us Part 2, you're just going to die, and then it's going to be game over, and then you're just going to be like, well, I wasted 10 hours or whatever.
Yeah, but some people...
It's get good culture and bragging rights. Like, I can finish in a survival mode, a permadeath mode.
I'm sure many people could finish The Last of Us 2 without... It's not an incredibly difficult game, is it?
It's got some very, very like bullshit moments, I feel. Like, that's the problem, I think, with its permadeath mode. Like, people are likely to die because the game isn't made for it. Like, there are points where you're meant to be caught out, yeah. And unless you know the game well, you're going to get caught out and die. It's not like Dark Souls, where, like, it's difficult because there's a steep learning curve, but once you get it, you get it. Like, it's one of those games where you can get 13 hours in and then die because the game was like, lol, swerveball.
I'm trying to wrap my head around why The Last of Us would benefit from permadeath in any possible way whatsoever. And the only thing I can think of is, as Nikki says, you get to play the game more times.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. Like, I don't particularly rate The Last of Us Part 2, but if someone really enjoys it and they get more fun out of it because something's added, then fair play to them. Like, it's just more enjoyable.
But they can do that themselves. They can. I'm playing a Nuzlocke now.
But sorry to interrupt you. That's something that you're enforcing on yourself, which is what people will do with this. And you have to remember, we live in a time where you're probably going to get more sales of your product through people basically advertising it through Twitch and other and you know, content creation. So if they're doing these fun little challenges, we're like, hey guys, check me out, I'm going to do a permadeath run perfectly, like 100%. You know, people are going to watch that, and then that might in turn lead to more sales. So in a way, you know, yeah.
It's self-inflicted rules are fine. And I don't think anyone... I'm not saying if you're playing The Last of Us 2 and you're doing permadeath, then that's bad. I'm saying do that. Obviously, like I said, I'm doing a Nuzlocke, which is not how Pokemon's intended to be played. But... And that's perfectly fine. But why they're going, oh, we're going to add this mode, I just find it strange. I know you're probably right. I just find it strange. I just can't get my head around it.
It's just more content for people, which is a win for everyone.
It's not more content. It's the same content.
Yeah, but
only if you die, you have to do it again.
Yeah, but it's something that adding to the game for you to try and do. Like, at the end of the day, if I was to do that and then die, I wouldn't start again. Whereas if they put the mode in, yeah, but I could
do that.
But if it's being enforced on me, then I would. It's the same with Pokemon Nuzlocke.
Just stop playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you're playing that now. I mean, you're enforcing it on yourself. But yeah. I bet you'd be chuffed tomorrow if you went on Twitter and found out that Game Freak were adding it to the base game of Pokemon Sword and Shield.
No, I'd be confused. Like, why are you doing this?
I've got
nothing. It's not needed.
Ace, make a segue, please.
Something that doesn't need a permadeath mode is Pikmin 3 Deluxe, which has been announced for the
Pikmin
Switch.
Has a permadeath mode. All the Pikmin die permanently. If your Pikmin dies, it's dead.
That's the Pikmin, but can your little pilot guy die?
Olimar? Oh, God. Exactly. This is...
So it's coming 30th of October. It's a repackaged version of the of Pikmin 3 with new side story missions, new difficulty options. Oh, so it might have permadeath. And new co-op support for the entire main story. Oh, and competitive multiplayer quote-unquote bingo battles.
Okay.
I'm more excited.
I know this is a game that, like, because, like, there is a new Pikmin in development, but, like, it's kind of just lost and I've never not heard about for ages. But I know a lot of people who are, like, really excited that this is finally coming out. Because we're kind of, like, we're at that point now where, you know, the Switch has been out for, like, what, 3 years? And I think, and I haven't checked, and someone will probably correct me, be it here or in the comments, but the number of, like, Wii U exclusive games that haven't been ported to the Switch is, like, I think less than 5 at this point once Pikmin's out.
It's very...
I think it is.
Which is... I like that, to be fair. Like, I think there's a... I mean, I had a Wii U, and I did have a lot of the exclusives on it, but there are generally some fantastic games on there that I think, with the wide audience the Switch gives them...
But wouldn't it be better to just be able to play those Wii U games that you've already bought instead of having to pay full price for them?
Yeah, it's difficult because there's no disc drive on the Switch. So.
Yeah, but I'm sure that they could make a USB disc drive.
Yeah, but then they turn it, then that by What's... doing that, they essentially make themselves Apple.
Can they? Does the Switch have a USB drive?
Yeah, it's got USB ports.
Through the dock, yeah, so you wouldn't be able to play it on the go.
No, you wouldn't be able to. Why would you want to?
That's the point of the Switch.
That's the point. Yeah, that's the point of the Switch, isn't it? I can play games on the go.
The size.
The point of the Switch is that you can switch between desktop mode and handheld mode, look, except for the Switch Lite. So that makes
switch
no sense.
To handheld mode.
Ace, don't fall for Nintendo's lies. The point of the Switch is to be played in handheld, but they want us dirty Westerners to think that we can play it on our TV screens, and that is not the case.
And moving away from the racism, Fall Guys has sold 2 million copies on Steam alone. So by sold, they mean sold.
Yeah, you said we'd move away from the racism. Can we just take a minute to acknowledge that whoever's running their social media account doesn't understand what a racist meme is? And the other day retweeted, because it's a little bit like people have been making their own like costume designs, and they retweeted one from Instagram. That is Uganda Knuckles, which is inherently racist. So, well done, guys. Well done. You messed up.
But the people who make Fall Guys don't run that Twitter account, do they? It's
well, I assume one person who work or a couple of people who work for the company have made Fall Guys work. For
yeah, it's the official Fall Guys Twitter account. But besides that,
Oliver is 22 run it. Sorry, I'm tweeting about how the Fall Guys notifications. Twitter notifications keep crashing. So if you see a good meme, at me.
It's good that the game has done as well as it has. Especially considering it's been given away on PlayStation Plus as well, and like that number is just the Steam sales. You know, streamers are loving it. It's Tateshi's Castle, the game, and it's great. I got to play a bit of it. Had a great time, so you know, awesome.
Yeah, I can't follow it. Like, I think it's one of those games that needs it's going to need content quickly. I think the cycle of games will get boring if they don't keep them fresh. I think it needs like a Splatoon thing where like every like few days it just takes them out and puts them in, so like you're never getting the same one over and over again. I don't know their workflow well enough to begin to suggest how they could get that going. They don't seem to have to keep their servers up for more than 5 minutes at the minute. So,
yeah. And yeah, they've done better than the beta for Marvel.
There we go.
People were saying, "Oh, I've been waiting so long for the servers to go up on Marvel's Avengers. I'm going to go back to Fall Guys because it doesn't take quite as long."
Oh my. so good until you get some exclusive Fall Guys content in Marvel if you're on the Xbox.
We're talking about Marvel and Fall Guys. Have you seen also on the Fall Guys Twitter, lots of brands are trying to get in touch with Fall Guys and get free advertising in there?
Yes.
In terms of costumes.
I saw KFC.
Like KFC have got in touch, yeah, KFC. There's a few others as well that I don't quite remember. Like Walmart have been trying to get some stuff going.
They tweeted Cyberpunk and were like, hey, Cyberpunk, how about a collab? And then the Witcher Twitter account was like, we got you, fam.
Yes, Cyberpunk did reply saying, if this gets exactly one retweet and no more, then yes.
They said if this gets one retweet, we will do it. It got loads, and they said, well, hit us up. And they went, no, we only meant if it got exactly one retweet. They doubled back. It's
Well, speaking of moving on, the
what was that gonna be?
No, I've no idea where that was going. Rocksteady Studios have tweeted about their next title, a picture of Superman from behind with the Suicide Squad logo crosshair logo aimed at his head.
I wasn't paying attention for 5 seconds, and I thought it was going to be Super Mario.
Super Mario? No, it's not. Rocksteady are working on a Suicide Squad game, and from the looks of things, it's going to have Superman in it.
I feel like this is a company who made a Superman game that got leaked so many times. They were like, fuck it, let's make a Suicide Squad game and make Superman the villain.
Except it's not going to be Superman. It's going to be Ultraman from Earth 2. They're going to go the Lego superheroes route. You can't have the player fighting the actual Justice League, so we'll make them the evil Justice League from Earth 2.
No.
You're going to know this answer, but can the Suicide Squad beat any of the Justice League?
Depends on the writer. Harley Quinn single-handedly defeated Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman in the same room at once.
Is that in the comic? Is that in the animated the animated show?
Nope. That was in Heroes in Crisis, a not very well received event comic from like a couple of years ago.
Oh no! In the animated show, she beat Aquaman by breaking a fish tank.
Yes.
Maybe this.
Maybe
this whole thing is a prequel to DC Universe Online, and this is how we get to where the beginning of that starts. And then we'll have to go play that again.
I also just realised, actually looking at the image, that and it might just be the filter they've chosen, because like there is a bit of a purple tint to the whole image. But like, yeah, you can see that the Superman's skin is like purple, and so maybe again that ties into Ace's what he's saying.
It looks a little cracked. His skin does around the eyes.
Yeah. I mean, they made the Arkham games, and we've been waiting 5 years, I think, for whatever they're working on next. Fun fact, I've met someone who is working, well, they work at Rocksteady, they're obviously working on this. They wouldn't tell me what they were working on. I did sort of like have a bit of a laugh about that. But they did say like, yeah, it's going to be cool. So
yeah, like in fairness,
Rocksteady are going to make a cool game. Gasp.
Who would have thought?
I think they've earned everyone's intrigue into it. Like those Batman games are fantastic,
And we are getting a new Batman game as well. And that was by I think it's Warner Brothers Montreal are doing
Court of Owls.
Yeah, which we've not heard anything about since its name. But I think both are being given more details on August 22 at this DC Fandome thing. So I guess end of the month we'll talk more about it.
Well, at the start of the month, on the 6th, there was the PlayStation State of Play, which revealed some trailers for Crash Bandicoot 4 and Hitman 3, of which is going to have PlayStation VR support, Braid Anniversary Edition, The Pathless, Spelunky 2, and this game where there's like animals that are food or
what's this? I've never heard of this game.
Animals that are food.
I'm talking about bug snacks.
Bug snacks. You thought we'd go a whole week without talking about bug snacks? You were wrong, dear listeners. Here again with Bug Snacks Corner. Can we please get
hello and welcome to Bug Snacks Corner.
Yeah, but I felt you said you was going to get us someone from Bug Snacks on this podcast. Like you promised us.
I didn't say I would. Also, your exact Bug words hasn't were, been released
Ace,
yet.
Ace and Nikki will back me up here. Your exact words were, I'll have them on the podcast soon. You said that.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I said soon, not next week. Christ. It's not...
Can we move away from Bug Snacks about the anime game?
What do you mean?
Bug Snacks, the anime game.
Breath of
Bug Snacks is an anime game.
No, Genshin Impact, which admittedly does look like Breath of the Wild, but with anime girls. But it's actually a lot more. It's got a lot more deep systems. But it's clearly
Who
taken.
Who was it that said Breath of the Waifu?
I don't like Breath of the Waifu. I really like Breath of the Kawild. I thought that was the best one.
Breath of the Kawild. I like that.
That's all right.
I think it looks cool. It's coming out soon. I like anime.
I like Breath of the Wild and I like anime, so I will enjoy this.
By soon, do you mean on the PlayStation 5?
Yeah, also, Aeon Must Die.
God!
So
let's
this game...
talk about that.
It's like it looks like a sort of side-scrolling brawler. It looks quite cool. I don't even think it was an hour after the stream had finished. It basically came to light that there's like so much wrong with the company that's made it. Loads of staff have left. There's like an investigation going on with the publisher.
It was the whole team, wasn't it? It wasn't even loads of staff.
It was like reports of like not being paid, excessive hours, IP stealing.
Am I right in thinking it's not even like it wasn't even a company thing? It was like one guy managed to convince the current or the old CEO to basically hand everything over to him, and then he was just like a tyrant. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm just trying to see if I can find the actual information.
All I remember is that it was leaked, and there were a lot of documents, because I had a look, because it was on Twitter. Someone had tagged Jason Schreier from now, what is it? I don't know where he works now. Old Kotaku person. And there were a lot. It was a big Dropbox folder with like 14 folders in it filled with just evidence about this company.
Yeah.
And about Focus Home Interactive, who were the publishers. And it's just like, oh my goodness. I don't know what's going on there, but
I've just found the actual tweet, which has the link to the Dropbox. And yeah, Focus Home have basically come out and said that they're going to conduct an investigation and there won't be any comment made until that's done. But essentially, all of the Aeon Must Die devs quit the studio the week of the presentation due to crunch and lack of payments. The trailer was outsourced to artists without consent and contract. There's then an email screenshot from obviously one of the employees who's leaking all this stuff, basically saying this trailer was created with abuse, manipulation, theft. Find out the truth about the development of this game here. And there's a link to Dropbox. People who have worked on every shot of this are no longer with the company holding IP rights. Some were not even paid for their work. The trailer has a pending conflict of IP. The real IP for the game was stolen from the creators via foul play. Final reaction of the publisher to this information remains to be seen. So it might be coming out. We don't know at the minute.
Crazy that such a thing could happen.
Bloody madness.
Well, something that is coming out but has been delayed. Halo Infinite. That's the one of the announcements made shortly before we went to record.
Yeah.
They've pushed it back to 2021 due to the ongoing COVID-related impacts that have been affecting everyone all this year. And they want to focus on the well-being of their team.
Is that really, though? Is that really the reason?
It's 100% not to do with the very, very, very poor reception to the trailer that was released
Can we just point out that they did come forward and acknowledge that the graphics weren't up to par? I fully expect that this is mainly because of the reception. However, and this is always a catch-22, because when a game gets delayed, it's like, cool, it means less crunching. Nope, sometimes a delayed game means more crunching, looking at you, Cyberpunk. But genuinely, I hope that the guys and girls working on this get to, you know, don't crunch and do get to take their time and make this what it should be in terms of like the standard they want to hit. Because to be honest with you, it's, you know, it'd be cool to have Halo back to its form. And I liked what I saw, so I'm quite happy with them to take their time. But it's an interesting piece of news because it kind of throws a big question mark in the air about the Xbox Series X, which at the same time as this news,
also announced when it's going to come out, kind of.
Yes, which is, it's going to come out sometime in November. That's the big news.
But do we think that maybe Microsoft aren't confident they'll get a lot of them out there come November? So they're basically using Halo to delay that and then almost like a second wave of purchases, so to speak. Like,
yeah, I mean, we spoke a lot last week about how, you know, Game Pass and potentially the ways they're making money and stuff. But I think when Halo is out, people will flock to the system. Because the thing to bear in mind is, oh, yes, Halo is coming to PC through Game Pass. Yes, it's coming to the Xbox One. But you're still going to want to, you want your best experience. You want your shiny console. And not a lot of people, you know, a majority of people can't afford high-end spec PCs, and consoles are the easier option. So it is possible that when it comes out, there will be a big shift of the consoles. And maybe there is a tactic here that, like, actually, we can't get as many ready for release as we want, so let's shift this game out a bit, have a slow start.
Because surely you'd think that the hardcore Xbox fans are going to buy the Xbox Series X regardless of what happens come November. Like,
Of course they will.
Similar, like,
of course.
I'm a big PlayStation guy, as I've mentioned in the past. It wouldn't matter if Sony had announced no games for it. I'd still buy one when it came out, just out of principle at this point. But
really? You wouldn't wait until a game comes for it? Just go, yeah, I'm buying it now.
Yeah, I don't give a shit, mate. I collect consoles. That's my kind of a thing.
Fair enough.
But so with that being in mind, if there's enough to sort of satisfy the hardcore Xbox fans who are going to buy them regardless of what comes with it, it kind of makes sense to just delay it to when all of the more casual fans can also get their hands on an Xbox Series X.
Well, they did mention that there's more than 50 new games planned for this year. So that means between November and December, there's going to be 50 games released for the Xbox Series X.
They're not Halo, though. That's the thing.
No, but they include Assassin's Creed any of them. And Watch Dogs.
Yeah. I didn't realize Ubisoft were launching a console.
I don't know. I think people do kind of get into this habit of like, all right, so cool, time to buy a new console. And it is a kind of a thing of like, regardless of what is actually there, there's always going to be like that percentage of people that buy it within the first month because they're just like, well, it's a new console, going to have the best.
You've got to have the best new graphics. You've got to, I mean, you already know. The likelihood is you already know if you're Xbox or your PlayStation. Yeah. And then you go, right, I need to buy this because it's got the best graphics.
Yeah, it's not even a graphics thing, I don't think. The reality is, if you're PlayStation or Xbox, you know over the course of the generation what series are going to come to which. Like, if you really like Gears of War, you know the new Xbox is going to get a Gears of War at some point. So you may as well just buy one. Mm. You know, if you like God of War, didn't mean to do it that way, but I've done it that way, you're going to get a PlayStation because you know at some point that game's going to come. And that's just the way it is. It's the generation's worth of branding and franchises they put on each is what really sells them more than anything.
Yeah. I just wait. I don't care. I remember the last gen when the PlayStation 4 came out, and my mate had bought a PlayStation 4, and I'd just written an article on my own blog saying I don't think I'm ready to buy a PlayStation 4 because I already had a Wii U, and a load of really cool PlayStation 4 games were coming, PlayStation 3 games were coming out that weren't going to be on the PlayStation 4. I mean, it's not as obvious that that's going to be the case this time, because a lot of games are coming out on both consoles. But
I think both consoles look a lot stronger at the currently going into this gen than they did at the start of the one we're at now. I think that the PS4 and the Xbox One both were pretty weak for the first year, whereas they both seem to have, assuming nothing else gets delayed, they both seemingly have very strong lineups ready to go within the first 6 months. So there's definitely more incentive to buy one straight away this time than there was last time. And last time, everyone bought them straight away anyway. So now that there is incentive to, you can only assume everyone's going to go nuts for them even more.
Yeah.
And on that, we've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you for joining me, Nikki, Rhodes, and Velt. Thank you for listening, and an even bigger thank you for subscribing, whether that's via Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or our RSS feed. You can leave a review on iTunes, follow us on Spotify, or post a cheeky comment on GameGreen.com. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch too. And while you're at it, game on.